ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present the Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of the Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. It's Brian behind the glass. Taco Tuesday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN at 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Lots to get to today. Astros are doing things. Casuals are saying Lance McCullers is going to pitch tomorrow, but it's really going to be A.J. Blue Ball. Some still draft aftermath. But obviously the big story today, the Houston Rockets go down 3-1 to the Golden State Warriors as they fall last night in the Golden State. Close one, but no cigar for the Houston Rockets as they lose by three blinkers.
Yeah, it was tough. There's so many things to kind of peel back the onion and talk about in this game. But when you look at it, they had every opportunity to win this ballgame. I mean, they had plenty of chances. I thought that the main storyline is obviously Jalen Green. He looked scared to death at times on the court. It was very disappointing for me to watch, and then went back and watched it again this morning. And the fact that when he doesn't have the ball in his hands, he is so disengaged with a lot of what's going on the offensive end.
It's not always that way.
In the fourth quarter in particular.
Yesterday, it was for sure that
it
way.
It was awful.
I'm talking about, like, his season. Like, he doesn't always behave about, that way.
But I'm just talking about last night.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. And
it was I had bad memories of James Harden whenever James Harden didn't have the ball in his hands, where he would just go to the far corner and stand and just would not engage. And I know when they were facilitating the majority of the offense in the fourth quarter in particular with Alpe, that he just was not active. He wasn't moving. Even when a shot went up, he wasn't trying to maybe see if he could get an offensive rebound or get in and do something. Defensively, I thought he was very disinterested in a lot of ways, but it was just a disappointment. Because I was really curious to see how they were going to come out last night because their backs were against the wall, and that was, to me, a do or die for the series. And the fact that they were putting up a fight, the fact that the rest of the guys were, you know, throwing haymakers and doing what they could, Fred VanVleet finally found it and showed up, that I was like, okay. I mean, you couldn't ask for more than a tie game, you know, down the stretch on the road with a chance to win, and then they just fell short.
Yeah, that was a rough one for the Houston Rockets last night. You mentioned VanVleet. Awesome. I thought he was going to shoot 75% from three for a little bit. He almost did.
And I also thought that guy that was giving you the stats on it was if he got to eight, and I'm like, well, maybe he sets the record for one game.
If he would have hit that three to send it to overtime, which
that would have been nine, right?
I thought he had it. Yeah, it'd been 9 for 12. I thought he had a shot. Like it was dead center. It was just short. Like it even swished the net. But you knew the way that everybody reacted. Yeah, there's lots to get to. I mean, you could start with Jalen. You could start with Haka Adams because Ime's catching it there today. You can start with the final shot. But we can start with Jalen Green. I'm disappointed in Jalen Green. That's where I'm at with Jalen Green. Okay. And we'll hear from Ime Udoka a little bit later. We'll hear from Draymond, Alpe Şengün. They had some interesting comments. I think Fred VanVleet summed up my thoughts perfectly yesterday. So my biggest takeaway from Jalen Green is my disappointment in Jalen Green. You can't, like, if you have a bad game in a series, okay, understand. Golden State's on scholarship, too. They have a very good defense, too. I get it. So, like, you have a bad game three after a bad game one. Okay, whatever. Like, I hear you. Like, it's going to happen here and there. It shouldn't happen all the time. It shouldn't happen 75% of the series. But the way he left game three chirping Draymond Green. He left game three press conference saying all that Draymond Green can do is talk. If you're going to do that, which I didn't love that he did that at the end of game three, but if you're going to do it, you then have to back it up. You have to, and it doesn't need to be from points. Like I'm sitting here, I'll always say that I don't really care about how many points you score. Go be an effective basketball player. Mm-hmm. If they're going to sit there and double team you, and they're going to rim protect, and they're going to cheat off somebody else to come make sure that you can't finish at the rim, well, have 15 assists. You could score 5 points, have 15 assists, and have a great night at the park. So I don't care about the point totals. I care about your overall play and how much you're impacting winning. And Jalen Green ran his mouth after game three, got into it with Draymond Green after game three. And if you're going to do that, you then have to back it up with a very productive game. I don't even care if I would like your team to win, but I don't care if your team wins. You have to be very good. You can't be the reason that the next day after game four, we're looking at you and saying, you are the reason that we lost. Why didn't you show up? So I thought that was, I thought he was acting like a wuss. I thought it was very soft of Jalen Green. And then he allowed his poor offense early to impact the all things that he was doing. Like, poor offense, poor shooting, I get all of that. He turned it over five times in 25 minutes. He's driving into traffic and saying, here you go, take the basketball, I'd like you to have it. On the defensive side, he's not chasing after any rebounds. He's not boxing out. Like, he is letting his box-out responsibility get to the basket for an easy offensive board that more times than not was leading to second-chance points. His rotations and off of screens, he was getting lost defensively. He pouted after game three. He continued pouting in game four. He let his poor offense early then influence his total production. This is the most disappointed I've ever been in my life. As somebody who defends Jalen Green, this is the most disappointed I've ever been in Jalen Green.
I just think there's too many signs there right now for this not to be a serious conversation that is going to spill over into the offseason. Because it's one thing where I kind of questioned whether you felt it or not, after game one, coming out saying the court might have been a little big, my knees might have been a little weak, this was more than maybe I would have anticipated. But then you come back with 38. So I figure, okay, that's behind you now. You got your feet wet. You understood what everybody was warning about. This is playoff basketball. You got 38. I expect for the rest of the series, not that you're not going to go for a 38 piece every night, but you're going to be a productive centerpiece leader for this squad. You single-singled me the next two games. You single-singled me in such a way that you were absolutely putting a bow and a gift card on top of packages that you were handing to the Warriors in the first quarter when they were building their first double-digit lead. You looked checked out on both ends of the floor, as you mentioned. The fact that you came out and looked like, in a lot of ways, a deer in the headlights and more, but then your whole game is predicated by if I'm scoring or not. It's a typical sports center baby mentality of the only way I feel like I'm positively affecting the game is if I'm getting points in the point total. And there's so much more, especially in playoff basketball, but in any basketball game, there's so much more you can do. The defensive thing was driving me nuts. Anytime, and this was, again, Harden-esque. Anytime there was contact made on a screen, he was done. He basically just said, yeah, you got me. I can't get back. I can't recover. He had no extra activity. He had no way of trying to say, I can get my teammates more involved. I still can be a valuable resource in transition and with my athleticism and the way that I can help this team. And you watched him on the bench, too, and it was just like he was a little kid. He had his hands between his knees, and he was all like kind of in almost the fetal position. And I'm going, this is a guy that you expect to be a leader of your franchise going forward. I just can't see it anymore.
I don't know if they expect that. I mean, I can't speak for them. I have no idea. I don't know if they've given any clues that they think that.
I think that they at least left themselves options by the way they made the extension so that it is a tradable contract. But I think that they still, I would say going into the season, they had every hope that he was going to continue to grow, flourish under Udoka, and he was going to be one of the pieces they built around for the, I won't say long term, but for the next couple of years.
I think they did all of that except for the last thing. Like, I think that Jalen Green has done all of what you just said except prove that you can build around him for the upcoming years. Like, he developed, he grew, he was better this year than he was last year.
Yeah, and I think that that was all under the pretense that Alpi and Jalen are the guys we're going to build around. They're going to be our two guys. And I think what this is showing you, and you and I talked about this before the playoffs started, I said, look, you're going to get a pretty clear-cut picture on a lot of these guys by the time the playoffs is over, no matter how they do and how far they go, in terms of what you have going forward. I really did not expect that Jalen Green kind of curling up in a ball was going to be one of the first things I pointed to and gone, that's not what you expected, but that's a huge problem. That is a massive problem, because now here's the other thing. Regardless of what happens in the rest of this series and what he hasn't been able to accomplish, the whole rest of the league has seen it. Everyone now has seen it. So if you thought he had value before in a tradable contract, that people are like, you know what? If we're looking to kind of move on from a guy we had that might be someone that in a fresh start could be a good spot for the Houston Rockets, we could get a great young up-and-coming piece like Jalen Green. And now those teams are going, I don't know if I like that a whole lot.
I don't know if I want that, Jalen Green.
Exactly.
I saw what he did in game four of the playoffs after he was calling out Draymond Green, and then he turtled up. He went into his shell. How many points did you score in the second half yesterday, Blinker?
Zero.
That's as many as Jalen Green scored in the second half yesterday. Brian, how many points did you score in the second half yesterday?
I believe that would be zero.
As many points as Brian McDonald scored as many points in the second half as Jalen Green did yesterday.
Uber athlete.
He was unplayable.
Well, we're putting you out there in a shoot-around situation next week because I think you could get I want you to say you get at least a bucket.
I think I can make as many buckets.
There it is.
I can make as many buckets.
I'm confident you can.
I think I can.
He might even grab an offensive rebound and get a little garbage bucket underneath. He might go a little Steven Adams light.
I could turn the ball over and not get any assist.
My goodness.
I think one could ricochet the wrong way and fall into your lap just by being out there, but he didn't look like he had a chance in hell of catching anything but a cold.
And then, like, a lot of people would be like, well, you know, if Jalen Green shows up, they would have won that game. If Jalen Green doesn't show up, I think they win that game. If Jalen Green catches the flu and has to stay at the team hotel, I think the Rockets win the game.
Yeah.
That's how bad Jalen Green was.
Frankly, I was mad, and I tweeted this out. I was mad when Udoka put him back in the fourth quarter.
I questioned it.
Yeah, like it was pretty clear what the lineup needed to be to kind of ride out. And you could switch Jabari and Adams, and obviously they did once the hack Adams start. But Jalen had no business being on the court in the fourth quarter. It needed to be Alpi with Jabari or Adams, and then, you know, obviously Dylan, Fred, and Amen.
A lot to unpack here. We'll talk Astros a little bit later. We'll hear from Ime. We'll hear from bad Golden State reporter Alpi, Draymond, Fred VanVleet, the whole kit and caboodle. 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on Twitter at ESPN 975. Blankers at Pac-Man Joel. Brian at Zach by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. We are the Killer Bees on ESPN 975 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 975. Please stand by. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Todd said that Pod scored more yesterday than Jalen Green did in games 1, 3, and 4 combined. That is not good.
No, this is a kid that was not highly touted, not looked at as a go-to guy on his team that has overachieved to get into the starting lineup, as opposed to a guy that, well, a lot of people hung a whole hell of a lot of hope and more on. So,
I mean, I think you're underrated Pods a little bit. Like, he's definitely no, like, decorated as Jalen Green type of thing. But, like, they could have gotten, was it Markkanen or however you say his name?
Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah, and they didn't want to trade Pods for him. So, like, I mean, he had a good rookie year. Now, he was disappointing.
He's solid.
He was disappointing early this year, and he was like, you know, he wasn't playing his best. But I like his game. I think he's a good player. He shouldn't be outperforming Jalen Green.
No, not at all. Not even close. And I just think that from a overall talent perspective with the tools, I think he's a headsy player. I think he obviously showed he can make some shots and he can handle the basketball. But with the athleticism of Jalen Green and his ability to, you know, with his speed, his quickness, his ability to hang, finish at the rim, I mean, he's got a very special skill set that I just don't know that we're ever going to see anybody kind of tap into all of it.
Yeah, maybe never hits that potential. Texture, I thought about that 75% stat last night, LOL. I wonder if that's Justin that texted that. Are you Justin, Texture? Another texture, is Jalen Green's game better suited to be a sixth man? I don't know if I would go that far about being a sixth man. Now, is his game better suited being the second best scoring guard on the perimeter? I would go there.
I was talking to somebody this morning about this, and I suggested that Jalen Green's best chance to really flourish offensively is to go to a team that sucks and be the guy that he can isolate whenever he wants, that he has the ball in his hands. It's almost like the Charlotte Hornets with ball having the ball in his hands all the time. Like, go to a team where he goes back to a Steven Silas BS offense where he can just do what he's done his whole career from AAU and high school and everything else and G League, or the G League Ignite or whatever it was. Just give me the ball, get the hell out of the way, and let me go one-on-one on the wing. He would, I think he would flourish in that system.
I know we're very mad at Jalen Green today, but he did lead the team in scoring. That's the second best team in the Western Conference that won 50 games. Like, if we're talking about the total body of work, Jalen Green is the leading scorer on a team that won 52 games, and is the second seed in the Western Conference. So I feel like obviously we're banging on Jalen Green today. We're all very mad at Jalen Green, but Jalen Green led the Rockets in scoring and they won 52 games.
That's all fine and dandy in the regular season, and that's great. But to me, what I saw and then how he's handled all of it tells me that's not a guy I can count on when I need him the most.
Wasn't the question, though. Wasn't the question. Well, question was, is he better suited to be a six-man? He literally led a 52-10
week. I don't think he's a six-man. I'm done with him as a Rocket. I really am. I am done with Jalen Green as a Rocket. I think that if you can find a situation where you can kind of move on from Jalen Green, I would think that's in both parties' best interest at the end of this season. Just everything that I've seen, heard, what we just got done talking about, to me, I'm done with him as a Rocket because you've given him the money now. You've given him everything and given him every opportunity to kind of grab the bull by the horns and take this team and this situation over and then help take him to the next level. And I don't have confidence that he can take him to the next level.
Oh, I'm right there with you. I don't have confidence that he can be a leading scorer on a championship team. Like he's capable of being the leading scorer on a 50-win team, but is he capable of being the leading scorer on a championship-winning team? I don't think so. I also have a very harsh grading system when it comes to that. I never thought that James Harden could be the best player on a championship-winning team. And I think that I'm on the right side of history there. He's never been on the best player on a championship team. I would say the same thing about Jalen Green. Now, as far as like being done with Jalen Green, I'm not going that far. I mean, if you're presented with like a sweetheart deal and something that's super attractive, I'm not hanging on to him with like everything, all of my might, but I'm also not going to be lowballed on Jalen Green. I would be happy with Jalen Green as my second best perimeter scoring guard.
I'm not willing to sell him for pennies on the dollar. Let me be clear, but just I'm done with any holdout hope. Figure out that he's going to figure it out at some point and he's just going to take off. I just have seen so much of the opposite to this point, and now this is kind of the last straw for me where I'm like, I don't want to give him away and get nothing in return, but I am done with any holding out hope that this is a guy that's going to lead your franchise to the next level.
He can't be the best player on this team if you want to win it all. I'll agree with you there.
Okay.
But I think he could be the second or third best player.
I think ideally he's the third best player.
Sure.
Because I think that you see in the league these days, I think you need two quality guys that you can go to, that you can depend on. And I can't depend on him for just how blatantly ridiculous the margin is from the single digits in three of the four games and the one explosion game.
I can't believe he's having this playoff series. I'm stunned.
Like, I'm actually stunned now that he went for 38 because their other three games look like that's the norm, right? That's what he looks like he is. I'm almost shocked that I look back going, how the hell did he get 38 in one of these playoff games against the same team where the other three games he's crapped the bed?
Because Golden State was happy getting one in Houston.
And Jimmy Butler missed the majority of that
Jimmy
game.
Jimmy Butler didn't play as one of them.
He broke his butt in that game, Jimmy Butler. Can Alpi and Jalen be, in whatever order, your second and third best player on a championship team?
Depends on who your first best player is, right? I think that there's plenty of like, if you got an Anthony Edwards type, yeah, they can be your two and your three. I think that you have to get a dominant type A personality one if those are going to be your two and three.
Okay. 713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line. I think they can be championship level two and three. I don't think they can be a championship level one and two. Two and three, and yes, obviously it depends on the one. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that cookie cutter, best player, Alpi, Jalen, whatever order, two, three, I think you can win it all. But Jalen Green is your best offensive scorer from the perimeter is a recipe for disaster. The problem with Jalen Green is the inconsistency. Alpi and Amin are the core. We need a shooter. He needs to go. Alex, that's fair, But again, like I'm not trading it for pennies on the dollar, like Blankers mentioned. Like, if Jalen Green is a dollar, what are you willing to take in return for Jalen Green? For me, I'm not giving him up for anything less than a dollar. Like, I'm not trading him for three quarters on the dollar.
I think that there's so many volatile situations in the league, and they pop up in a moment's notice across the league from a year-to-year basis, that you can get close to equal value for him. The contract is very conducive to making a deal. The fact that he's still young, that teams are going to see exactly what I said, where if you just get him a system where he's the primary ball handler and you run the offense through him, I think there are teams that think that they can get through to him and kind of take him there to where it would be more intriguing to them and also get something off of their hands that they're done dealing with.
Yeah. See, I feel like we are, because we're mad at Jalen Green, kind of diminishing that he is a good player. Obviously, he was very bad yesterday. Obviously, he's been very bad in this series. You could even say he's been disappointing in his Houston Rocket tenure. At the same time, if you're going to defend Jalen Green, he's the leading scorer of a 52-win team. Like, those guys don't grow on trees. Like, how many teams in the NBA won 50 games this year? How many? I mean, six or seven, perhaps? So there's only six or seven basketball players in the world who are leading scorers on 50-win teams or better. Five in the West, four in the East, so nine. There's nine leading scorers on 50-win teams in the entire world. So, like, part of what the frustration in Jalen Green is, we know that he's so much better than this. And you mentioned, like, his potential. Like, his potential is the 38 in game two. He has unworldly potential. The problem is he plays to his potential about 10% of the time. And in the biggest moments, he's literally benched. Last night was the biggest play of the Rockets season. Biggest play for the Rockets since 2020. Most important game for the Rockets since 2020. And Jalen Green was unplayable. He did not score in the second half. So, like, yes, we're disappointed. Yes, we could be done with him and all that, and that'd be fair to have that thought. But we also can't ignore that he is very skilled. He is good.
I will never.
At times.
I think that's the biggest frustration that I have is, I see all that talent. I mentioned some of it, but I think he's an above-average ball handler. Could he be better? Sure. Last night was an atrocity in the first quarter. But I think that overall, especially when you get like in transition a lot, I think he can handle the basketball. I think that he has unbelievable quickness and speed and hang time and his ability to score when he is focused and when shots start falling for him. You just see so much. His mechanics aren't broken. Like, he's got good mechanics. He's able to make tough shots at times with people in his face. There's just so much talent on that kid that's why it's so bothersome to me, because you want to give him every opportunity because you see all that potential and say, if I can just get him in the right spot, I can just open up and he can go. And every single time it seems like we go just like – the inconsistency is the biggest one-word term I can give his career. Mm-hmm. Because we go through this all the time. Here goes the is he on a heater? Is he done? Is this it? Is it finally where he's done with the hot and colds and he's just going to figure it all out? And it never comes to fruition.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it so frustrating.
I think he's soft.
Oh, for sure.
I think he's soft.
I think aside from the verbal back and forth with Draymond after the game the other night, do you ever see him wanting to get into it, mix it up?
I mean, there's been a couple times where he's pushed people, but I wouldn't call that not soft. I would call the altercation with Draymond soft, though. Like, you
got to back it up.
Well, also, you just lost the game. Like, the time to have the altercation with Draymond isn't moments after you lost the game. Like, that to me is the softest time to do it. They're walking off the floor. You're walking off the floor. You literally just fell behind in the series 2-1. That to me is the softest time to talk-ish. Like, that's not hard. What's the opposite of soft? Hard. That's not hard. That's not being hard in the moment. Being hard in the moment's like answering the bell when your team's down 2-1 on the road. I don't need you getting into a physical altercation. It's not even a physical altercation. They're just chirping from across the way and being broken up with by 20 people. There's 20 people in front of them. I could be tough if I knew 20 people were going to be in front of me and Draymond, because I know there's not any repercussion there. Hey, Draymond, you stink. There's 20 people in front of me. What are you going to do about it? Absolutely nothing. That's not – I don't think that was anti-soft. To me, it's his mentality. I think he is soft. Todd says he doesn't have the killer mentality. He absolutely does not have the killer mentality. The question now becomes, because, I mean, I think it's a lost cause for this series in terms of him gaining a killer mentality. You know, maybe the Rockets can win despite him not being great or whatever. Maybe he has one great game, lifts him to victory, whatever. Can Jalen Green develop a killer mentality? Is that something that you can develop? Is that something that can grow? Can you go from being what I call a soft player into being a player that does have that dog in him? I think that's a tough skill to develop.
When do we see players who we would call soft suddenly develop being a dog?
I think it's a very tough skill to develop.
Yeah, I don't.
Almost impossible.
He could get. I hate to use this phrase. He could get harder. Like, he can mature. Like, I will allow for that. He's, what, 22, 23?
22 years old.
But I don't think he's going to go from yelling at Draymond being dragged off the court to not doing anything in game four, and all of a sudden he becomes a dog 5 years later. Like, I don't think he gets there.
I don't think so either.
I think you either have it or you don't at this point in your life. I think that you see a guy like Anthony Edwards who came in fresh off of 1 year of college, and he already had that mentality that he was willing to fight if he had to fight.
He's trying to fight LeBron.
Yeah. But I'm saying even as a rookie, he came in with the mentality of, I'm the best player in the world, and prove me wrong. And if you want to push me, I'm going to push you back. And I'm going to talk that ish every time you talk that ish. And you see it, and you understand it, and it's not a show, it's not an act. You know the ones that do, because when you said that about the nine teams that have 50 wins, he's the worst of all of them, of the teams that won 50 games best, their leading score.
What do you mean worst?
He's the worst player of all of them.
Okay, in your opinion?
Yeah,
okay,
my opinion. Which Halliburton is the only one, if you think that Halliburton's the best player on the Pacers,
yeah,
or the leading scorer on the Pacers, Halliburton's the only, and I think Halliburton's better than Jalen Green because of the fact that he steps up bigger in big moments.
I would argue that Jalen has more potential. But who cares? Potential's overrated.
Because I'm looking at, and we talked about this before, I thought Minnesota, because the one guy in this league that with a team that had a less than season that was fully capable of shouldering a series all by himself was the guy that's doing it right now for the Timberwolves. Anthony Edwards is different, right? But I look at some of these other teams that don't have 50 wins and go, I don't care if he's the leading scorer. He's not better than the guys that are leading those teams that didn't win 50 games.
I'm kind of getting the vibe that Jalen is, and soft. Maybe this is something that is
softer than puppy do in the rain.
He is, but maybe I'm making this comparison just because of the ties to the city. But it feels like Jalen is just a very, very poor man's James Harden. Like someone who could put up the numbers in the regular season. Obviously, poor man's, very, very poor man's James Harden. He'll never put up the offensive numbers that James Harden did. But you don't trust him at all once he gets to the postseason. I mean, think of game six against the Clippers. I don't remember what year that was, Joel. But you talked about that getting Kevin McHale fired after he refused to put him in that game six comeback against the Clippers. He didn't play in the fourth quarter. They went with the headband of brothers because McHale trusted them to get it done.
Yeah, look.
I just think there's some similarities there.
I just think to your point, because I saw a lot of James Harden last night, but the thing is, I don't know that he could ever win a scoring title.
Yeah. Very, very poor man's. Yeah.
Jalen, I mean, if you gave him the keys to the car, here's 40 shots, Jalen.
But I still think it would be winning ball. Reinvented a lot of the offense we see today. He was unbelievably innovative with the way he's more than a scorer. He is a damn good shooter.
I don't think that Brian's making a player comp here. He's talking about their status as a player.
Shrinking, not
he's
a not, dog.
It's not a player comp. Yeah. Like, he shouldn't be in the same breath as James Harden. Brian wasn't making a player comp. He was saying that he can't be trusted in big moments,
right,
a la James Harden.
And another guy that shrinks up in the playoffs.
That's the similarity that they have, but not a player comp. He's not saying their games are similar. 713-780-3776. Out to the HRMP listener line. Gary, you're in the high. What's up, Gary?
Hey, what's up, guys? I just want to say I'm super disappointed in Jalen, and it's not like he didn't have a bad game. Like, everybody has a bad game. Like, I'm kind of old. I remember MJ. Like, MJ had bad games. That was a no-show. Yeah. Like, there's a difference, right? Like, that's a complete no-show. There's no way that the organization, your teammates don't lose faith in you when you just don't even show up, right? Like, there was zero impact, can't even dribble the ball, looked like he was scared out of his mind. Like, that's the problem, right? Like, anybody can have a bad game. But I don't know. Like, I want this team to build with the young core, but I think this series is a glaring reason why, like, we need a guy. Like, it sounds cliche, but it's real life in the NBA. Once you get to the playoffs, like, you need a dude, and we don't currently have that guy. And I think we need to go get him this summer.
Appreciate the call, Gary.
Thanks, Gary.
Rackham. We'll hit that on the other side. Do they have a dog? Do they have a closer? I agree with what Gary said. That was a complete no-show. And it came on the heels of running your mouth to Draymond Green. disappointing performance. Disappointing no-show, as Gary said. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. If you want to be a no-show to your business, you need HR&P in your life. You want a no-show HR compliance? You want a no-show benefits administration? You want a no-show payroll? I understand. You want a golf. Get HR&P. They can do those things for you, though. HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll. HR&P is the very best. They've been in business for over 25 years. Mike Holly, U of H class of 1990, go Cougs. Chris Fisher, fantastic people over at HR&P, and they're going to work with you to customize a plan for whatever you need. Maybe you still want to do a little bit of payroll. Okay, we'll give them the compliance and the benefits administration. They're going to be a guy that you want on your side. There's nothing cookie cutter about HR&P. They're going to show up each and every game. If you need a little help or a lot of help, anything in between, HR&P is going to create a plan for what you and your business needs. Their customer service, second to none. You'll never talk to a stranger on the other side of the line. You'll trust them taking that big three. You'll trust them having them on the floor late in the game. You'll be calling someone familiar with you, familiar with your company. I can speak to that customer service anytime I have a question. Always a quick response, easy to understand. Let HR&P take on the demands of human resources. Eliminate your HR burden so you can get back to growing your business. Give them a call at 281-880-6525 and let HR&P customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525 or visit them online at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
Houston's independent voice for sports. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Lamont, with limited knowledge, the Rockets, would it be safe to say Jalen Green would be a fit on the Rockets during the Harden era? Probably too good of a three-point shooter. Freaking Morey would be, oh, we're going to shoot 100 threes. And then they put bad three-point shooters around Harden. Drove me nuts. Drove me nuts.
I just don't know if he could coexist with James Harden.
I think they're too similar. Well, not, they're well, not
both
similar.
Guys want the, that's what's going with. Both they, guys want the ball in their
hands. I don't know if Jalen Green wants the ball that much. I mean, Jalen Green melts in any adversity.
Yeah, but right, but I think in the regular season.
Jalen Green would be happy to allow somebody else to be the alpha. Jalen's not an alpha. Jalen's a beta.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's an alpha, but I think in the regular season, because he knows, again, I think that, kids of a certain age, as they're growing up, in order to feel relevant in a basketball game, you have to score points. And so he kind of validates his seasons, his careers, his games by how much he scores. I think in the regular season, he's fine. We've obviously seen that when games are raised up a notch and the pressure becomes a little higher, he can disappear.
Have we ever seen Jalen, though, like, give me the dang ball, I'm going to go dominate? Never. He's the opposite of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of, unfortunately, he was a product of the Silas system early. So I just think that there weren't any situations like this, and there weren't as many, and can't remember hardly any opportunities to actually kind of, and they had free reign. He had the ball whenever he wanted it. But I think now when you get into these games with Ime and you get to more meaningful games and you get to more pressure-packed games, you're right. I can't argue the fact that he doesn't go, you know, when they inbound the ball on the end line and go, give me the ball. I'm going to run the offense and I'm going to take over here. But I think he expects it.
Maybe. Like, he definitely comes up with the AAU mentality. And his game is very much score first and do very little else. And I do think Ime's done a great job with Jalen getting him skilled in other things besides scoring. Like, his passing has gotten better, his ball handling. Now, I know saying this today doesn't really ring as true as it actually is, but Jalen's become a better rebounder, he has become a better defender, he has become a better passer from where he was in his rookie year. Now, yesterday he was a no-show, like Gary said, 100% right, but Jalen to me is not a guy that demands the ball. Like, Anthony Edwards is. Anthony Edwards, give me the ball, I'm going to be the grown-up in the room. I think Jalen Green likes to be the emo at the end of the bench, just paints his nails black and disappears in any adversity.
I think
easy, he's good. When it's easy, he's fine. But when it's hard, he is not fine. He's anything
but. He wants the money. He wants the
rest. Well, who doesn't?
Right, but I'm saying, so he realizes you can't get one without the other. So if he was playing with James Harden, I think that deferring and having to sit and watch James Harden, he would realize at a certain point when his deal comes up, or as he gets closer to his deal coming up, he ain't going to be close to a max player. I mean, he's not going to get anything.
He used to be passive with Kevin Porter Jr.
He would still get his, because again, on every given possession, it was a three-way handoff between who was going ISO next.
Yeah.
Oh, for those days.
Hell, he was passive to Fred last night when they were on the court together.
He was passive to literally everybody in a Rocket uniform. He was passive to everybody in the arena.
And I understand the Steven Silas excuse. It's kind of a go-to at times for us for those 2 years, but I don't want to necessarily give that to Jalen just because Alpi. Now, I'm not saying Alpi is just the utter leader dog that, you know, Anthony Edwards is by any stretch, but he does seem to want the ball to a degree in big situations. So he was able to overcome the Steven Silas era far better than Jalen Green was.
I'll tell you what, I wasn't pleased with Alpi in the fourth quarter either. But
no, he had some moments, but he also had, I mean, without Alpi, they're not the game. I think
he had LNS a lot. He had little syndrome going on when he saw anybody that was of some kind of prominence in the middle. When he saw Post and he saw some of these other guys, he was aggressive. He got unbelievably tight when he saw Draymond.
Well, I mean, Post is way bigger than Draymond, though.
But he also felt like he could body him and get away with it, and Post wasn't going to do the kind of things that Draymond does as an above-average defender.
What is LNS?
Little Nuts.
Okay, I've heard of I've heard of the other thing.
Syndrome.
Okay, I've never heard the N of that. I thought it was more. I thought it was a D, but or
no.
A P.
No. Yeah, it's just, I mean, he.
But he scored on Draymond in game one, like with ease. With ease.
Hey, there was a stretch in that game where they wouldn't have been in it without Alpi.
Now, Draymond was off the floor. Draymond was off the floor in that period of time.
True, and they rushed him back in.
But in game one, Alpi owned Draymond in game one. Owned him.
Especially, and he got off to a good start. And he got off to a quick early start, and they wanted to send a message to Draymond. But unfortunately, no matter how much it was trying to, the coaches tried to drive it into their heads before the series started, you have to be above it. You have to step away from it. He's winning the mental battle. He continues to get back into their heads and continues to find ways where it's affecting them negatively, because you saw it in the fourth quarter. When he saw Draymond, he did not have the same aggressiveness. I thought he rushed shots and he got them up super tight, and he was not even close to as fluid and like confident as he was with the other guys that they were throwing
at. I'll take back my he definitely rushed shots, and he settled for the elbow free throw line jumper more with Draymond whenever he shouldn't, because I think he has an advantage. I mean, even on Draymond, whenever, go back, watch game one, like Alpi had no problems with Draymond because he would get underneath the basket 5 feet away and would shoot over him, because Draymond cannot defend the shot. He can't block his shot,
but he also has to realize,
I think he's scared of the contact.
He's scared of contact. He's scared of the fact that Draymond's going to be hyper-aggressive and pull everything out of his bag to throw at him to see if it'll get to him. But there's also a reason why you're getting that wide-open shot from the free-throw line, and because they want you to take it. Mm-hmm. And because you're not good at it, and it's a catapult one-handed push, whether he does the flamingo step or not, that has very little chance of going in. So instead of going, oh, you want me to take this, I'm going to put my back into you, and I'm going to back it down. No, I'll take the shot you want me to take. You play right into their hands.
I don't think he should shoot it outside of 5 feet.
I don't think he can back Draymond.
Disagree.
Down,
go watch game one.
I think he can.
He did it all over game one.
And I think his footwork is so good that even on the
not
initial
when Draymond's
contact,
set up.
I disagree. I think he's unwilling to do it because he doesn't like the contact.
He doesn't, and he can spin either way. He can back in for the first couple steps, and when Draymond starts to create resistance, and Draymond was getting away with a lot of chicken wings of extra resistance, his footwork is so good that he can go one way the first time,
no doubt,
the other way the second.
Yeah, he
time
can outskill him. I just don't think he can overpower
There's
him.
There's evidence
and push
of
him
it. Go watch game
all
one.
Right, all right. I saw moments of game one where, like when they got Alpi on the move, you're right. Like his athleticism, his footwork, his skill overwhelmed Draymond. But if it was one-on-one, you know, trying to power him down into the post from the wing or something, he couldn't do it.
I'll go back and watch it and send you some receipts.
Please do.
Every time Alpi took those bunny hop steps, I wanted to unlive myself. Take it easy there. KPJ grew up under Silas. Yes, he did. Shingun lost us games 3 and 4. That's an interesting take.
Ooh,
7 and 18 and 12 of 30 from inside 6 feet shooting is terrible. No, his touch inside needs to get better, but Alpi Şengün showed up. Alpi Şengün was their main piece offensively, especially when Draymond was off the floor yesterday in the second half. Meanwhile, Jalen Green was sitting next to his head coach on the bench. I don't know how he can put it on Şengün. I was unhappy with Şengün at moments as well. I don't think he should be shooting outside of 5 feet from the rim. It ticks me off. He always takes a heat check three-pointer. Don't do that. You haven't hit one since like February. A little bit tongue-in-cheek, but not that much tongue-in-cheek. I think he's hit like two or three threes since February. Get it inside, into the post, get to your spot, shoot it from 5 feet. Don't take anything beyond 5 feet. Your touch isn't that good. I know you think you're capable of doing it, but we don't have time for you to work on that in the postseason as you're down 3-1. 713-780-ESPN. We have a full call board. We'll get to the calls on the other side. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-ESPN. People have some thoughts on the Rockets. So let's go out to the HR&P listener line. Killa Cam, you're in the high. What's up, Killa Cam?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Daily listener, love the show. Just had a couple thoughts. One, obviously, free throws killed us. That would have won us the game and maybe one or two others in the series. Thought two, please let Draymond shoot.
Yep.
Anytime that man gets the ball, leave him open. Can't go wrong there. Third hot take, towards the end of the stretch last game, at 2 or 3 minutes left, they're jostling back and forth between points. They went to Alfie in the low post against Quentin Post three or four times in a row, and every time it failed. I'm going to put that one on Ime Udoka. If it's not working, why do you keep going to it? You have several other playmakers that can make it happen. I just didn't understand that thought process. I'll hang up and let you guys debate that.
I'd have to go back and look at what you're talking about in terms of that it didn't happen multiple times. Because last night, I think for the most part, they were going through him because there's actions that come off of that based on the reactions of the defense and the fact that he was scoring more than he wasn't, and he was having his way with anybody not named Draymond Green. And then if they collapsed, you had Van Vliet, you had shooters that I think that, quite frankly, are underused and have been and undervalued in this series because Dylan Brooks continues to shoot the ball really well from the outside. He just can't get enough shots. But I think that, I don't know if you saw him, Jeremy, or you remember him. I thought that he was still effective when they gave him the ball. When we talked about it, he rushed a lot of shots. He missed a lot of bunnies and short shots around the basket because I think that he was just way too fast. But I think that he still could be effective.
I thought he was way more patient last night than he was in Game 3. Mm-hmm. Game 3, he was a train wreck. Yesterday, I thought he was mostly good. Now, Draymond, whenever he came back into the game in the fourth quarter, kind of ended that. Now, I had the game log here. Quentin Post entered the game for Looney at the start of the fourth quarter. The Rockets' next few possessions, and you can't say, I can't see who was defending Alpi on every single one of these possessions, but Quentin Post is in the game. Good chance he's defending Alpi. Now, the Rockets were going double big at times, too, so like I don't know where Post was defending just reading the game log here. I have to go back and watch. But Quentin Post entered to the 12-minute mark. The Rockets went Amin Thompson make, which they got away from that too. Like Amin Thompson was having some success attacking the basket, and then like they stopped doing it in the last 5 minutes. So Amin Thompson 9-foot make, Alpi Şengün next possession missed a shot, offensive rebound makes a layup. Next possession Amin makes a layup. Next possession Alpi makes a layup. Next possession Amin makes a layup. Next possession Quentin Post fouls Alpi Şengün, and he made both of them that time. And then Draymond entered at that moment. So there was a 4-minute-plus stretch of Quentin Post in the game, and the Rockets had success. So I have to go back and watch specifically Alpi being defended by Post. But that was the moment of the fourth quarter where they were going through Alpi, and they felt like they were scoring every possession.
I think they wanted to do it again last night. I mean, they tried to do it again last night. Late in the game, they tried to run everything through him and give him the ball and an open lane to kind of work however he wanted to work because they felt like he had that advantage we've talked about all series. He's had, but when Draymond came back into the game, it was a totally different story.
Yeah, the Draymond shooting thing, I agree. Like, I kind of like that he hit his first two shots because then he's going to take five more. So I was actually, like, a little bit joyful. Now, I didn't love the way the first half started. The Rockets started halves poorly yesterday. Big reason why they lost. But I was happy, too, that Draymond made those shots.
Jalen was giving it away, too. I mean, he was just absolutely kicking it, punching it, and just handing it off to Warriors players early in the game.
Yeah, Cam, don't tell us you love the show. I mean, we're not going to give you anything for telling us that kind of stuff. It makes me a little uncomfortable. 713-780, I don't like feelings. 713-780-3776. Back out to the HRMP listener line. Chuck, you're in the Hive. Chuck, what's up?
What's up, guys? Jeremy and B-Mac, man, I've been talking to Joel for a long time. The Harden Rockets damn near threw me into rehab, and I could have killed myself on their team. The thing that's bothering me with this team is the head coach has got more fire than these friggin' players. Jalen Green's got to show up to something. We can bitch about Alfie all game long, but at least he's there trying something. Jalen's horrible. This has got to stop, guys. Love the show. I don't want anything, Jeremy.
Thanks, Chuck. Appreciate you, man. I think that just to Chuck's point about the other guys, you obviously know there's a hell of a lot of fight in Fred VanVleet. And we don't need to be reminded any more than the broadcasts already remind us that he's the next champion. But he could have folded up his tents and gone home with as bad as he started this series. Stepped up big in big moments, made huge shots last night, was a massive reason why they had a chance to win that ball game. He stepped up. Dylan Brooks, say what you want, like it, love it, didn't, you know, criticize this or don't like that. Dylan Brooks was willing to fight on every play. Dylan Brooks was giving everything that he had on every possession, both offensively and defensively. I think you can say that about a lot of guys on this team. I don't think it's fair to say that the rest of these guys are all labeled under that same category and mentality of soft.
No, they're all pretty soft. Not all of them.
Steven Adams is.
I don't think Fred's soft. I don't think Fred's soft. Fred might be a little limited at this stage of his career. Mm-hmm. He's not good at finishing at the rim. Like, he has holes in his game. He's not soft. Fred's tough. Jalen's super soft. Maybe the softest player in the league. Dylan Brooks isn't soft.
Nope.
Alpi can be a bit soft.
Yeah.
Jabari can be a bit soft. I wouldn't call Adam soft. I wouldn't call Amin soft.
I don't think Amin's soft.
I wouldn't call Tari soft. He does some stupid stuff sometimes.
Oh,
though.
My God.
Like jumping at half court trying to throw
that
it
foul.
In.
Oh, the foul right before halftime?
The foul right before
the foul
halftime.
Before halftime, oh. Just hugging Jimmy Butler. But then also, remember when he got the ball at midcourt and he got caught up in the air? And he's like, well, I can't throw it back to my teammate because that's going to be a backcourt violation. Let me heave it towards the rim and just
throw
it away.
Yeah, he just heaved it over behind his head.
But I wouldn't call him soft.
He may have really got into him about the foul on Butler. Before halftime.
Let him catch the ball. He's going away from the rim, and he's not a good perimeter shooter. That was dumb.
But we continue to see in crunch time moments him making dumb plays. Like, he'll step underneath a shooter. He'll foul a three-point shooter. He'll do things that you're like, you just know from the time you were playing Little League ball, don't do that. And he does them over and over again because he has talent. He's an above-average defender. But those are the things that are setting him back for sure.
I think my bad, go ahead.
But I don't think he's soft. I don't think Tari's soft.
No, definitely not. I think Tari's one of your tough guys. He does some dumb stuff, like throwing a towel on an opponent in the foul and then jumping at midcourt for really no good reason. And Mama Easton was mad at him on Twitter.
Oh, I saw that.
She was getting it, but she was like saying, like, Tari, that was a dumb play. Like, she was going after
the foul on Butler or the throw behind his head?
The half-court pass, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever we want to call that. Forgot what I was going to say.
Someone being soft or not?
No.
Well, because she was catching it, and then one of the websites went out there and put out Tari Eason, 0 points, this, that, and the other thing. And she goes, I birthed a dog. I birthed a guy that can play in this league. I guarantee you none of you guys have ever in your life played basketball at this level or whatever like that. But she was looking for anybody she could go after last night.
I can't remember what I was going to say. It was before that. Whatever. We'll move on. 713-780-ESPN. Texter, Branham, don't be such a tryhard. Just chill like Joel and you'll be a lot cooler. Texter, I don't like feelings. He's making fun of my southern draw. Did I say feelings funny? I'm ESL. Why are you making fun of my English? I'm ESL. Spanish was my first language. And you're making fun
of... And I'm Mexican.
What does that say about you? You're making fun of an ESL student. That's embarrassing of you, Texter. Hate the show, give me something. We're not giving anybody anything.
There you go. That's the opposite you want.
The only thing you get from us is if you win bets and stuff like that. People are taking us to task about Shingun's game. And also Draymond ejection. We'll get to all of this. Lots of the onion to peel back. 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.